I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kim Stout?
Here.
Ryan Boyle?
Here.
Dustin Miller?
Here.
Chris DuPont?
Here.
Rob Galleon?
Here.
I'll review the agenda.
I propose an amendment to the agenda to move item number six to nine. Exactly, session to the end of the meeting.
Have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Pose same sign. That agenda approved with the amendment. Citizen input. Minutes of July.
I move to accept the meeting this time, meeting minutes this time.
Have a second?
Can I make one correction on that? I just caught. I was not at the July meeting, so I didn't lead the pledge of allegiance.
Oh, sorry.
So you didn't lead the pledge of allegiance either.
Sorry.
Also, the very last one says Dustin recommended, and then I seconded. Was that a motion or a recommendation? I don't think you've got the second a recommendation, right?
No, I can just strike it.
I don't know. The additional comments or announcements?
I don't remember if that was a motion or if that was a...
I can listen to the minutes.
Okay. With that correction.
I think the conversation was that you had the ability to add someone just autonomously, so you could do it.
Okay.
And Ryan.
I don't think there need to be a second there.
Yeah.
Right. Just cross it off.
Okay.
Yes.
I amend my motion to accept as amended.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Pose same sign. And motion carried. Approving the amendments is amended. Old business A, task force update.
As best of my knowledge, I don't believe there was a meeting in July. I think Scott was out of town for the month of July. And I think the next meeting is scheduled for Thursday.
This Thursday?
Yep.
CAD data.
I just want to hit on that. I went up to dispatch last week and visited with them. It was a good conversation. We're still working through things. The biggest thing that's coming out is we're going to be working on some more stuff on our... We get a lot of unauthorized burning, and we may get it as a phone call, and so we kind of create the CAD for that. But as we do the reports and print them out, it doesn't show a kind of a dispatched and route time, and so as we're trying to go through that data, I have to kind of wash those out often, and so we're going to try to see if we can add a dispatch time to and then an on-scene time, even though we're going to respond code one, you know, no lights and sirens, but just to try to clean up the data. Dispatch is moving forward with the Spillman CAD system, which is from Motorola, and it sounds like Idaho, Washington use it. I don't think anyone, I think Renee said no one in Oregon right now uses it, but from what I can remember seeing that presentation, it seems similar to Tyler CAD from just their presentations, but I think that will be a process to go through. I think it maybe takes like a year, to go through that, but I did want to make sure that we did that. And then also, a goal is still, I would like to try to continue to go up to Condon and to have those meetings. We've had, I think, twice now in the last few months, they've been coming to here, visiting with us, and I think it's nice to go up there too. So, and I think it would be nice to have all staff at given times to go up and just see. So I think Tom is one of the last staff members that went up there, but it's been a long time ago. So, but it's just good to see how, because they're shorthanded. They have one on at nights, and then they two during the days, sometimes Renee, you know, through the day. But so that's all I have to report on that.
The new version of CAD, or the new Motorola program you're going with, does that add any benefit from fire district?
I think what's going to really help with it is that on the CAD data part, the it plays nice with the NMFRS fire reporting that we do. So very similar to the Tyler CAD, where your times will be automatically in there. So it takes out the kind of the human error of reading down of when we're in dispatch, when we're in route. Because the current CAD system right now is somewhat confusing. Is if you get dispatched, it puts a D for dispatch for, say, 1721 goes in route. And then they drag you in and it says EN is in route. Well, there's seconds because they may be getting another phone call and they're dragging it down. And so there's, for us, there it creates human error of trying to figure out, okay, when did we actually go in route versus, and so that will go away because it'll be all automated and it'll play with the NMFRS stuff. So it sounds similar to Tyler CAD because I think Tyler does that same function.
Any change on the response end of?
And I think that's when it would help with working with all the agencies about maybe even looking at run cards and things like that in the future, which would help with dispatching out apparatus. And so it should help with that.
Any other questions on the CAD data? Item C, chief update. Last week, Dusty and I met with Chief Van. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? Recently, on Western Fire Chiefs, kind of reviewed the recruitment, what we were thinking of timelines. I think there were a lot of questions as far as us go. They honestly think they've already seen a difference in the pools with other recruitments that they have currently going on. They've noticed the changes, some of the applicant pools, whether one of the reasons they were thinking was possibly COVID-related. We're reverting back. Who knows what that's going to play into. Look at possibly posting it again, I think, this week. There's a bunch of things you can go over during an executive session. Regarding that, but yeah, and then so if it gets posted this week, you're looking at what was it, October-ish, having given the same timeline as last. If we get it posted this week, so maybe by mid-October, end of second half of October, we should have finalists. So. We shall see. Dusty, you have anything to add?
No. It was during fair season, so was that 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Western gave us a few options, and we'll discuss those tonight. But sounds like a pretty good timeline.
Okay, If there's no other discussion, new business. A, ethics reviews, ethics statement review.
Yeah, so the auditors have pointed out that we are supposed to sign an ethics statement every year. And so this is one that we used in the past. I think the one we have posted out in the front was from 2016. And so they had mentioned it in our auditor's report. And when Leanne was here a while back working with Miss Leanne, made a comment about it. And so I figured, well, let's get it on the agenda and take care of that. Sounds like a very simple thing to do. And so I asked for it to be on tonight's meeting so it can be signed by everyone. And at least we have that done.
Anything to add?
I'm just wondering, so Tim got a look at it?
I did, yes. And Chief Scar and I spoke about it. And I approve of the content. And I believe you read it by SDAO too.
Yes.
Just make sure that it was up to speed with the current ethics requirements for special districts.
Yes, and so there is something that we can work on towards in the future with SDAO with a more of a board's ethics statement. This is kind of a combo, I guess you'd say. I feel like it applies to both, to every, the board and the operations staff, but that's something we can still continue down the road and look at what they have. But I did send it to Jason Jancy, and he didn't see anything glaring on it or whatever, but he did mention that there may be things added to and or changed in the future that you could add to this. So
I'd say you should do a resolution should be closed. I voted on the board to execute what should be the annual fire district code of ethics document.
I move to adopt this as the current code of ethics and to sign it.
Have a second?
I will second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So carried. If the resolution about the fire code of ethics has been amended to this provision.
I don't know that it's been amended. I think
because there's already an existing
one. It was already an existing one. I didn't change anything on it.
Oh, okay. You want me to just sign this one and send it down?
That sounds great. And then I'll post it out there in the front.
Tim.
Fire and EMS resolutions. Mr. Gaston, would you mind taking?
Not at all. As the board is no doubt aware, this resolution was presented at the July meeting, which unfortunately I was not in attendance at. Since that time, it has been had some minor modifications from the document originally presented, but those sort of modifications relate primarily to form and not content. I confirmed that the current resolution, which is now before our board, is the most current version of the proposed resolution. I verified that yesterday with the EMS board attorney, Paul Sumner. I verified with him today that the board, the EMS board passed this resolution in its current form that is now before you last night under a 3-2 vote, and so is now up for consideration by our board to consider and potentially pass this same resolution. I see that we have Mike Ahern here tonight from EMS board as well as Chief Lapine. And if I made any misstatement about the facts that brought this before the fire district tonight, I'm sure they can correct me, but I believe that that's accurate information.
Is there any questions for council or Mr. Ahern or Chief Lapine?
Did you guys have anything to add to it? Or?
No, it was the process. Like Tim said, it was kind of nitpicky with Paul and Janet and everything, but it is the exact same thing. We're real happy with the joint signing. I mean, a few people worked back and forth, but it was a consensus. And last night at the meeting, I'm the chair of that board. We did open it up and we did vote no, because I was kind of hoping maybe they had a real good reason to make any kind of changes or amendments, because, I mean, you know, it's a process. Mm-hmm. They're just opposed any idea, they're done with the merger talk. So it was easy through 2-3-2. So, we, you know, we just want to work together and move forward. Janet's got anything to add? They're getting ready to vote on that.
Oh, you've already done executive session?
No, we voted then.
I was waiting late to let you guys finish executive session.
Then Tim just represented that the two attorneys have looked at it. It's essentially the same thing as they had before.
Only made into one resolution that we both signed. So there's just one document, one signature page for both. And put the number one on for the fire district, things like that. And we know our board on anything to do with merger will be a 3-2 vote.
Now, I mentioned to them that we did leave it open, and you know, of course, if the other two had something wrong.
Mike did a good job, and they both talked.
Yeah, they just closed to it.
Yeah. And they said, you know, like Dave said, I think all of you already know that, so. And then the only other changes, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, besides it being a simultaneous, you know, one resolution, is that there were spots where both agencies should have been listed. So we made sure that both agencies are listed in the proper places.
Right, and I just advised the board shortly before you walked in that most of the changes from the original document as presented really relate more to form as opposed to content.
Correct.
And so, it's very similar to the document that was presented at the July meeting.
Yep. And our resolution number was 2102. So when I made the motion last night, I asked what the next resolution number would be so I could make sure the motion was. And Mike went and looked it up to make sure. And then we appointed our two people at our July meeting.
Which is 202. 202.
And we have two mics. So sorry, Mike.
Do we entertain the motion?
Do we have a resolution number, our current?
I just asked.
I can go look.
Just asked Leanne that, but I think the only resolution we have is the adopting of the budget, so.
Why don't you go look real quick?
Okay.
But that way we get the right one.
And Mike and I are happy to answer any questions you have or wondering about something.
So would our resolution number need to mirror their resolution number?
No.
Nope. Okay. That would be the only difference. Ours is 2102, yours might be two. Because our budget was the only resolution we had, too.
Yeah, it was 21-02. I see the board members, but how come no staff from either agency are on this since it will directly affect us?
Staff are, will, you know, help with any information we need. They're just not a voting member. And mostly because boards set policy.
In reality, at least my position on this, it was like, personally, I think for 20 years, people, most of the people have wanted to merge, so we wanted a map, so we weren't debating the merger for another 10 years. And we wanted to be real open, fair, inclusive, you know, transparent, but with the schedule of the time.
So she's telling?
Yep.
Just the vote.
Same, yeah.
You guys are good players, you'd be the governing board in the future.
It's 2102 as well?
Yep.
No further discussion, I mean.
Entertain motion? There's just a vote.
Entertain motion. I'll make a motion to accept resolution 2102 as drafted.
Second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That's unanimous. Who's the secretary? One other thing on the resolution, the two representative board representatives to be on the working group. Do we have any volunteers?
I would put my name in the hat if there's any anyone else that has interest or
Kim?
Yeah, I'll do it. If, unless somebody else really.
Chris? Are you deferring?
I'm deferring to Kim and Dustin.
Oh, I don't want to stand in your way.
I'm good. There you go. So appointed to the working group is Dustin Miller and Kim Stout.
Congratulations.
Item C, staff reports.
So on page 3, our total calls for the month was 118. Matter Station we had 89, Culver Station we had 29. And we had one unable to respond. We had an engine in Redmond, and we got a request for a fire down at Warm Springs. And so I didn't feel comfortable sending another unit out with the staffing we had on a 100 degree day. And so I held that resource. Thankfully, it was just a smoke alarm for them, and there was no fire. So we had 18 fire calls for the month. Mutual aid to Warm Springs, we had 3. Total calls to date for Madras is 487. Culver Station is 138 for 625. Our average response time is tone out to arrival is 8.5 minutes. obviously during the day we're responding quicker, but also to trying to take in as much as I can on, you know, responses to even Redmond and Warm Springs, and those add time too. I try to take some of them out, but it's difficult to try to get inaccurate information on this, because really when we're responding to Redmond, responding, you know, further south or Warm Springs, that tone out to arrival time is slower. But with that, we do try to get our apparatus out quick for those mutual aid calls.
Is there on your call log that if one's 12 minutes or whatever, is there anything that says how far that was?
No, that's...
Other than where it was to?
No, so sometimes what I'll have to do is, you know, I was talking about the CAD data earlier about the times and stuff, and so these are ones I look at and I try to go through, and if it says it takes us, you know, 20 minutes or 25 minutes, I'll go back and try to review that and kind of audit it. Where was that location at? You know, looking at the date, time, and look up that call and try to see where that was at. That's the best way right now with the way the system is, to see where that location is. So typically as we run a report, they'll say the incident type of what call we're going to. So it may say building fire, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it took us, you know, 25 minutes to get there. And I go back and look, it's like, oh, that was in Warm Springs. It was a mutual aid request for a building fire. So
that, and you kicked that out?
Some, yeah. I kicked out one that was 23 minutes. And this goes back, this was an authorized control burning. And so depending on what we had going on, or if it was a phone in, and then we call dispatch to say, dispatch, we got a burn complaint, and it's on Juniper Butte. We're not responding super fast to that, you know, to see how quick we can get there. It's a slower call. It's a burn barrel or something to that nature. So. Average response time for the year is a little over 8 minutes. Values at risk for the month was 22,200. Values lost for the month was 16,200. And then values at risk to date was 1,640,180. Values lost to date was 276,700. Fire prevention. We did a couple station tours with some families that came in. We were down at the fire booth Thursday through Saturday. We had a great volunteer who staffed it on some of Saturday, which was awesome. We had the 4th of July parade, and then we did have four inspections. And also to add to this too, that Tracy Cooper has been adding a lot of comments to the community development, you know, to Nick's need of future developments that are coming in the area up by the golf course. And so she helps out a lot by adding in comments to that, whether it's driveway access, things like that. So juvenile fire setter program, none at this time. And then for the volunteer program, we're currently sitting at 42. We added three. We lost zero this month, but I do know that we use the review board, our volunteer review board that meets monthly. And last month we didn't have a quorum to do it, and so we missed a month. But we evaluated some of our volunteers that aren't meeting the minimum requirements, and so we've lost a couple this month that will show up for next report. Sitting at 32 firefighters in district, 9 out of district. Junior firefighters, right now we have 0. We just added one this month. His dad and son, his dad works for Portland Fire, actually my neighbor, and so his son added as well, and is going to be a junior for about a month. I think his birthday's in September, so. And then we have 6 associates and currently 6 interns. Mark, can you hit on the training for me?
Next. We don't have any special training. This is the time of year where we're mostly focusing on preparedness for response. And so we have been scheduling any academy weekends. Those will start in the fall. So we'll have Pumper Operator Academy, Firefighter 1 Academy, Firefighter 2 Academy, and some extrication classes in the fall. So our hours are a little lower. this time of year for training. We have a lot of folks that are doing their summer jobs. We've got some BLMers and some contract firefighters, and so people are gone. We did apply for some applications. I guess I missed adding that in there. So we've added some model man firefighter applications to DPSST for certification in the last couple months. And the big thing is, and I wish that I had them here to introduce them, but one's out of town, the other one's on shift in Culver. But we had Reed Carlson, our second year graduate from the program, and he left. And then we added two additional interns to our program. So we're up to full six interns, three in Madras, three in Culver. These kids get younger and younger every year. So we got two kids right out of high school. They're 31 waist. They're size 13 boot. You know, they're just, they got a lot to learn. So that's kind of where our focus is right now. It's getting them up to speed. It's always a joy.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question, please? At our meeting last night, there was a conversation about joint training.
Mm-hmm.
So is that
So Kirk is in charge of EMS training, and he's been working with Penny on their training program. So we've got, you know, fire training, EMS training. So that'd be Kirk.
I have talked to Penny and presented her with some information, and she should be meeting up with Chief Lapine. I give a couple options, one for a Monday, one for a third Thursday of the month. We're trying to make it monthly, and what we're going to do is 1 month of EMS, the next month's fire, just kind of rotate down that way. And any training we do, they're invited to come over, but we're trying to set this time aside to do joint trainings. We actually did one this morning on difficult airways, so that actually happened this morning.
And we had both crews here.
Yep.
And it was great. So
she said it kind of went from difficult to just flat out airway.
Some things changed because of the call in the morning where we had to do the whole decon thing for an hour.
Nice. Thank you. Yep. And Penny and I have been playing phone tag.
It is kind of a hard mix because so I focus mostly on our volunteers and their use of the Monday night, and then the EMS folks are on a shift rotation. So we're talking, you know, apples and oranges, how do you get everybody in one room? So that's things that we have to figure out in the future is how do we, so you've got this shift, but then what about next EMS shift? And so those are definitely challenges that we'll get to work on in the future.
And that is our focus too. Right now we're trying to make a priority of that. And so, you know, Mark is our training captain, Tom is our maintenance captain, and Kirk is our EMS captain. And so whether it's you know, ordering or even continuing that relationship and building that training program for the EMS side. So when we do the training during the day, it won't hit the volunteers like Mark does necessarily on the Monday nights, where it's targeting our fire training for those volunteers. The EMS training, we're going to continue to try to, if volunteers are available too, and we may expand that. But right now, it's trying to focus on when we can meet up with the shifts, depending on call volumes, things like that. So,
great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can you hit on maintenance?
Well, we got Kirk's portion of the maintenance.
Yes.
Well, where he is in charge of the hydrants.
All the hydrants are tested for this year, except for two property owners' request. They asked that I not flood their parking lot in the middle of harvest, loaded down with their harvested crops. And I said, we can wait till September for that, by all means. So I'm going out and working on flushing hydrants now, just verifying operations. Some rough numbers are probably 16 new hydrants from the last time I tested last to this year. So gonna flow those, not test them necessarily. Some are still under construction. They're in the middle of a dirt lot, so I don't need to make a mud pit for them. But I've got them mapped, so we're gonna see a lot more growth out of the number of fire hydrants and that kind of stuff. And then for the prison, it's an annual requirement to test the hydrants down there. I'm gonna wait till after fire season in the fall to get those done. And they have four new hydrants set up that I have to map and test as well.
And Kirk worked pretty hard in the last couple months to try to finish those hydrants, so we're done with that part of it. Obviously, there's still a continuation of flushing hydrants and a few more, but he focused quite a bit this last couple months doing that.
Kirk, I did talk to Penny about that today and decided to make it Thursday, so
The training that's on our staff meeting is a separate thing.
Okay.
One, it provides more training, and two, it makes it its own animal, because after they all come in for that staff meeting, nobody wants to stay that much longer after their training.
They're already kind of mentally taxed. Okay, so third Thursday?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so reporting for the... You're done, right, Kirk, with the hybrids?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Haven't been working in on any major projects, just maintaining the apparatus and sort of roll out the door and spray water on fires. But we've got the annual ladder and aerial testing coming up in late September. Trying to get that coordinated with UL again this year. Our technician that we've used from UL for the last 5 years, 6 years, he just automatically scheduled this while he retired. And so we're back to getting everything scheduled through corporate, and so it's taking a little bit more. Promise return phone calls, stuff like that, just haven't materialized, so I'll continue with them and get that done. We've got just some items taking place right now. The BLM has provided us with a larger output ice machine to be placed here at the station. And we run into one problem. We got the ice machine brought in here. We made the agreement with BLM that we, if they were all right with it, we'd like to take the old one out to Culver. Well, when we went to put it in here, the cords didn't match up. There's one too many prongs. Yeah, so it was a, we have to put a 220 circuit in here in order for that new machine to work. And we knew that we may run into some issues out in Culver, power-wise, and sure enough, we've got to put a 110 circuit in so we can run that one. So right now, we're kind of at the disposal of electricians. It's one thing to get them to come in and bid it. It's another thing to get them to schedule the installation. So I'm working pretty diligently on getting somebody committed to get that done here in the near future. So. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what I've got going right now.
And I think I want to touch too that you guys hammered out a bunch of hose testing too, so they completed hose testing last month as well. So, which is quite a project in itself too. So,
yeah, especially with the hot weather we had this year, we hit it hard and then try to give some reprieve for the end of the day, but we find ourselves working on into that heat a little bit, but. We did the best we could to try to do it in your cooler times.
Yeah. A couple of months ago, you reported some air pack issues and like the struggles with Traeger. Has that settled down a little bit?
Yeah, that was, again, that's a communication thing. That was communications from the engineers down through their technicians. Their technicians were on the same level as us as to how to test and the operations of the pack. Well, the engineers, they had a different thinking on it. Mm-hmm. And so that information just had to be disseminated down through the ranks. What they were posting for normal testing was incorrect. Uh-huh. So all of the use documents and everything are corrected where they needed to be corrected. And everything is staying in it's conforming where we're supposed to be.
Good.
So we had issues, but we really didn't have issues.
Good.
So somehow Madras instructed corporate Traeger, which is worldwide, that they had an error in their paperwork.
Yeah.
Why no one else in the U.S. caught that?
Awesome.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and it went back to Germany. And said,
yeah,
no.
You guys are just not good. We are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thanks for John.
Any questions? Thank you.
So we already touched on the joint trainings with EMS. I do have one AED grant that's left open. I'm waiting to hear back on that for the AEDs. We're looking to upgrade them and get them in line with Zoll. That way it's all the same internet and same equipment.
AED?
Automated External Defibrillator.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then our duty officer medical kits are lacking a little bit, so I'm going to be placing a medical order to upgrade those. And we have worked on utilizing the Wind Wagon or 1799 as part of a rehab vehicle for our fires as well, but we don't really have a medical rehab kit, just the basics, vital signs, just a way to track what how our guys are feeling and be able to put numbers to something. So I'm going to get that made and put in a order for EMS supplies, since it sounds like we're going to be ramping back up here in a couple days. And I will also be doing one CPR class this Thursday for two new students so they can start their EMT basic class in the fall.
Accounting, the LGIP, $1,618,298.56. Bank account, $174,920.79. And the profit and loss budget, I have a meeting tomorrow with Heather, and we're going to take, Thursday, yeah, to update our profit and loss statement to match the current budget. So, with the corrections. And that's stuff.
Admin?
I just wanted to hit on a couple of things along with the Flex Network piece. There was going to be a contracting project being done, but Chris Monroe is waiting on one more permit from the city before they can start that project. That was actually going to be scheduled to start a week or two ago, but the permit, when I talked to him on the phone, he said that they're still waiting on a permit from the city, so before they can move forward. And their plan is maybe in the meantime to start putting up the tower and for that dish until, so that way when they can move forward with it, they can hook it right up. We did also talk about the security camera system. And so I sent an email out, I think last month when I wasn't at the last meeting, and just wanted to talk to you guys because it is a $4,900 expense before I moved forward with that camera system for our security system. And so he reached out to me about trying to move forward with that. And so I wanted to bring it up to the board. I know we talked about it and it was in the new IT piece, but just wanted to confirm that with that expense. So, and would like to move forward with that.
I think we should move forward with it as far as the IT upgrades.
Okay. So I'll
contact. That's the same amount, or a little bit less, it sounds like even.
Yeah, it's the same quote from 3/10/2021, so it's the same one I have. I'll send it out if anything changed on it, but he keeps getting reminders on his system about this quote. And so, you know, he reached out to me and asked me about it, and I said, well, unfortunately, I missed the last meeting, but I'll make sure I bring it up just to kind of communicate with you. I will let you know if there's any changes to the $4,914.63, if there is. But that's what it sounds like it would be to upgrade or to change out all of our existing cameras and that. So, and the last one, I also sent out a proposal to the board, and I just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were. I understand that there's some potential moving closer, and so maybe that wouldn't be feasible, but it is something on that interim proposal that I sent out to the board in regards to operations-wise here and potentially hiring a part-time captain as we're getting, not to the end of the summer yet, but and also hearing today. I was hoping to do it last month, but so I sent it out an email for everyone to take a look at. And I guess depending on how things move forward and how fast would probably dictate whether or not it's worth even moving forward with that. But it was something that the board asked, I think, from that June meeting of what the thoughts were. And so the next day, we sat around as staff and kind of discussed about some ideas of what would we think would work for the interim time. And that's what we discussed. And so obviously it's been a couple months now, but that was still the proposal that I wanted everyone to kind of see. So, and that was the thoughts from the staff. So I don't know if now is a good time to do that because of the time frames that you guys were talking about, and I know you guys have an executive session today, but I at least wanted to bring it out in the open today for everyone to what their thoughts are on it. And like I said, it was just I felt like you guys wanted to know what our thoughts were as staff, and I think that's what we came up with. So as an idea anyway, whether or not it works or it's worth moving forward, but that was the idea that we came up with. So.
And as a point of clarification, the thought is to add more chief officer level to the response and the availability for someone on the weekends. And
yes, it was to help back up that duty officer and have a chief officer in the district who can respond in their duty rig and take over a fire or a expanding incident that could relieve that, because on a weekly basis, weekend basis, the duty officer has to decide whether or not they can take their duty rig to the scene, depending on crew, or do they need to jump on the apparatus and run it from the apparatus. And so if there's a emerging incident and you need more of the IC type role or that support role, that would come in and help take over that, and it would just help balance it out. I think that's been a goal for mine when I took the deputy chief position and tried to work it out with the current chief, of trying to do a rotation of that to help support the duty officer role, so that they know if they have to go make that decision, because when the tone out goes out and they may think they have a crew and it doesn't work out and they call the station and says, I'm standing by with a crew too, but no driver or no officer, they have to decide whether or not does that crew take the apparatus out, or do they need to respond on the apparatus. And that chief officer could be listening, because they would be a designated week. They would hear that, and if it sounds bad, respond and help that. Whether it's a terrible MVC on 97 that we need someone to help with an LZ, a landing zone for the helicopter, and you know, Mike and I, if it's during the week or something, or weekends for me often, and even you sometimes running third outs on the weekends, we'll come and do that when we can. But if I wasn't here, then the idea was having Tom Hack as an interim, and so him and I would alternate that. But that was always, with a small department like we are, that's always been an idea for me to help with the duty officers who are on that weekend to support them. And I feel like I need to be around every weekend as much as I can. Not that I don't trust them, but more of just to support them. So
that conversation was a couple months ago when we were promised a horrendous fire season, so we'd get a little prepared for being super busy. So far, we've been all right. We've got another month left, and so we might make it through as we are. So
And the plan would also include somebody moving somebody up to the captain position.
And I haven't presented this to our volunteers or anyone, because I didn't want to have any false hopes, right? So if we had a lieutenant that wanted to step up into a part-time captain role, I don't know if it's even feasible or if there's interest or if it would work. But the idea would be you would have myself, an interim deputy chief, and you would hire a part-time captain who would take on a duty role of every third week. And what that looks like depends on how many hours they're working and what we would pay them to do. And so in that proposal was, you know, some ideas. If it's just the weekend, they take, you know, and we run four staff like we do right now, and then they just take the weekend and they're on 24/7 for that weekend, for that every third weekend. And then you'd have that chief officer in the district as well to support that duty officer. But that was the idea, was to just add staffing to our operations and spread it out a little bit.
Just in the absence of the fire chief?
Yeah.
Missing that one.
Yeah, because missing that 20% of our force right now. So. But like I said, it's a little late, maybe now, I don't know, but it was just something that I, like I said, we wanted to bring up.
Can you get somebody hired in short order?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't reached out any for it. I don't know if it's even feasible with some of our lieutenants' schedules, or if it would be someone outside, you know, that. That's the part that where I didn't do that front end work on it, because it was an idea, but I didn't want to create anything if it wasn't going to be feasible and work. So,
what would likely could be of that part time captain being your, you're going to be pulling from your number one, two, three volunteer, that you're going to be at a net gain of zero?
Mm-hmm. Likely.
Yeah, potentially, very.
Second question would, so knowing what we know today versus 2 months ago of the fire EMS path that we're going down now versus it was up questionable, would we be better off, if it's a staffing issue, would we be better off looking at an interim fire chief for helping with policy and merger help in that avenue versus a firefighter on the ground?
I mean, me personally, I think I have definitely a lot of interest in this merge process and happy to be part of it. Right now I feel like I can do that and then operationally be available, where I feel like we're kind of missing some of that. And I'm not by far the perfect chief on the policy piece and all that, right? We have probably lots to do still on that, but we're not necessarily tackling that right this minute. When it comes to the merger and being the conversation, I feel like I've been here. I have great people that I work with that to have discussion about what we think we need and what it could look like and whether or not, and take that to that committee group and to have that discussion and if it's feasible or not, right? And I believe, and I think Mike and I have been working well together. So on that side of it, I think we're okay. It's the staffing side of it. And I feel like we don't have enough operational staff, whether it's, you know, constantly wanting to get volunteers and get them trained up, but it's also just the staffing model that we currently have from, that we've always had with the increased calls. You know, I think we can't compare call volume to like EMS's, where they're 3,000 calls a year. However, you know, in 1989 or when we were at four staff, five staff, our call volume was substantially lower. And now we're, you know, around 950 calls a year. And so I think that's a staffing level, I think, is a big discussion all around. I talked to Chief Kenma a week or two ago from Redmond, and I know he put in for a safer grant because he wants to put another firefighter on every engine to help staff those engines. And so they would go to like a three staffing model, from what I understand. Whether they get the grant or not, that's dependent on that. But he feels strongly about that because having two firefighters on an engine is not enough. And so I would take that information to, as we go down the road of merging, of what we think we need for the fire side, right? Because that's what I know And then discussing with my staff of what we think we need to do the job, so. But like I said, I wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if I don't know if I want to retract that, but I wanted to at least discuss it because I sent it out an email a month ago, and so I thought it was worth talking about.
And we had that conversation. It's more of a spitball, you know, like we're going to throw it out there, give you input, give you something to make a decision on. You'd asked, and we wanted to be helpful that way, and so that's what we came up with. But was it the answer? Is it exact? I mean, is it perfect? I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good idea, but then the implementing of it, so there's a lot more questions.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is just we're continuing to communicate daily of what things look like. And if I know in advance I'm going to be gone, I'm trying to talk with the staff and figure out a backup plan of who can support this or that, or will they be around. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's great for us. But we have made it this far with potentially October, or, you know, going out in a week, maybe mid-October. I don't know now if it's worth it. Beginning of the summer, when we're knowing, you know, what we know and trying to plan for the worst, it made sense because we're in our mind, we're 20% down. We could use another firefighter that's on staff. So.
Is there such a thing as a temp firefighter? Utilizing middle
rig personnel? Isn't that what we want to do, is hire them through middle rig again?
Yeah, there was, that happened. I can't remember how long ago now, but there was someone hired on a temp.
16, right in there. Process. We did that. We hired two temps.
And I know Rob and I've had conversations about part time, and how difficult that can be because of you lose, maybe, if you hire a part time firefighter, what that does to your volunteer, right? You may get that part time firefighter 12 hours. Or maybe 24 hours a week, but maybe you have a volunteer that you would like to hire, and he's here on average 60 hours a week just because he's here hanging out. So then you hire him and you lose him over 50% just like that by hiring him. So it's a tough thing. So we have this as a backup plan, as a backup idea.
So you and your staff are thinking stay the course, or?
What do you guys think? I mean, with the information I received today, right, with some timelines, I mean, I think if those timelines stay true, then.
I think after this executive session, we'll have a better understanding of the timelines.
So
you've got a plan in your pocket if whatever you guys come up with, so you guys talk, but there's an idea if you need to refer to it or something. Plan C.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we need to schedule a work session to hash it out more versus waiting until second week of September when fire season's pretty much over? Other than in the Cascades?
We can discuss that after we come out of executive session.
Good.
That's a thought.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. monthly bank accounts.
Are you done with your administration?
Yeah.
That is it?
Yes, Rob says.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm
moving on.
Yeah. He's done. I'm trying to keep it at an hour. See? I'm trying.
Good job.
Bills.
I'll make a motion to pay the monthly bills.
Have a second?
Second that.
Second by Dusty, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Bills, citizen input, public comment?
The only thing I would add is I'll volunteer if you want me to be the coordinator, like to get the four of us together and kind of start planning, so we don't just kind of languish month to month. And like, what time of day works, what day works.
You said volunteer, I was gonna go get an application.
That's what she was going to, I thought she looked really good in those terms.
I've actually. The boots are a little big. But I would do that.
Yeah, that's okay.
You guys okay with that?
Sure.
And then the other thing I was going to offer was, Chris, last meeting, you had questions, I could tell, about merger and, you know, things. So I would be happy to set up a meeting, particularly with Rick Allen and you and me, and go over some things if you'd like. You know, some, most, I think all the other board members made at least one of our group meetings this last, you know, 8 months that we've been meeting. So I'm happy to do that if you'd like.
Sure, it was just a question on timing.
Yeah.
Getting free time to meet, so.
No, and it could be, you know, lunch, whatever works for you.
Okay, no other additional input, any additional comments or announcements?
I did miss something in training, just something that might be public, this one would ask about. We participated in some combined training with PGE, City of Madison North Unit at Madison and the Five. We did some confined space training there right on the highway. So if anybody asks what dead bodies we were pulling out of the underground with the stormwater retention system, it was combined training for confined space for the industry groups. We're trying to keep them safe as they do their industrial entry. So, no pictures in the paper, thank goodness. Well, I was worried OSHA strip swings by or somebody puts a picture in the paper. It's just media we don't need. It's not where it falls. That's all.
Okay. Well, if there's no other additional comments or announcements, we will enter into executive session at 6:32.